Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Hi.
Hello.
We're here. We're back.
Yeah. I'm
like, you know how Kat and Pat, like Kat Cohen and Pat, right? They start every podcast. They go, "Hey, is for horses."
They do. I haven't listened in a while, actually. I'm sorry.
What's up? What's up with you?
Not much. Just trying to get my shit together right now. How about you?
Just kind of like life-wise.
Overall. Yeah, in general, always.
Both of us are still like looking at our computer being like, what is the topic
for today? What are we talking about today? I know, we're gonna just freestyle it.
It's okay, we're gonna freestyle. Yeah, I agree with you. What have you done recently that's fun, cool? You're a fitness girl now.
I'm a fitness girl now. Yeah. I'm trying all these Pilates studios and like different studios. There's like, okay, so you know how I talked about the coffee shop epidemic?
Oh, I sure do. Guys, I'm gonna post a photo on our Instagram and it's gonna be of just one wooden stool at a coffee shop. It expresses the entire vibe in one little photo.
Well, after we recorded that, I went for a walk and I realized they're opening a new coffee shop, like literally two doors down from me.
Wooden stools?
I don't know. They're still under construction, but leave a little we'll find out. I'd be like, please
God, don't do it to us. Yeah.
For the love
coffee
of God.
Coffee chair.
No, but the same thing is happening with Pilates studios, I feel. So
wooden Pilates studios.
No, the epidemic is like all these like random workout studios are popping up and they're like not good.
Who is opening that?
I don't know.
It must just be like influencers. I think
it's like, yeah, it's like, because it's very like Instagrammable places, but then like when you're actually taking the class. Yeah, it's like, and then you take the class and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Like, this isn't how you got abs.
I'm like, this, well, I went to one studio, which I won't name because whatever.
Okay.
To each their own, but it was literally, you know those sunset lamps? Have you seen those? The Instagram ones? It's like, kind of like a.
Yeah, they changed the.
Like an orange.
Yes.
Orb kind of thing.
Yep.
It was like a dark room with reformer like machines. And three of those lights.
Did the light make you feel like more powerful?
I
was like,
I can't see shit. Also, but also, what?
I already almost decapitate myself every single time I'm on a
room. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is a like, liability for the studio. Also, why is the only lighting in this room sunset lamps from Instagram?
Like $55.99.
Yeah. And so it just kind of threw me off because I was like, yeah, the place was super cute, very Instagrammable, like brand wise. It was super, super cute. But I'm like,
did you Instagram it? Are you part of the
I
problem?
I sure did. Well, no, I Instagrammed a sign and I just said, trying a new studio.
Okay.
And then like five people were like.
Kind of left it blank after that.
No, and then five or six people were like, what did you think? And I was honest.
Okay.
And those five people were like, I thought the same.
Really?
So it's definitely
so you're not alone. Yeah.
So anyway, that's my.
God, well, if I ever worked out / new Pilates, I would.
Well,
I would.
I will
know
say
that.
I do have a recommendation. Since I talk shit. Now I'm going to give you something.
Okay.
There is one studio that I love that just opened in the 7th. You came with me. It's called. Paris Pilates. It's owned by this wonderful instructor. Her name is Jennifer and I used to take her classes when she was just teaching in different studios. Now she opened her own.
That's cool.
The 7th. It's very cool. And I really like her and she knows her shit. She's from LA and I feel like people from LA know
I didn't know where she was from.
Fitness.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's so funny. Like what? People from LA know a lot about fitness. I'm sorry, you don't think people from Wisconsin know a lot about fitness?
I don't know. I don't. If you tell me like I was a Pilates instructor in LA for 20 years, I'd be like, yeah, you know your shit because you're like working out with like rich.
Yes.
Like,
and people who would critique you or like not come to your class, obviously. If you.
And I feel like
I
LA people really care about like their fitness.
Yeah.
And I feel like Paris is not really a fitness city.
No. So. It's not a fitness city. I think it's becoming. Yeah. I actually kind of have this theory that the Olympics affected Paris because I told you how I used to get made fun of when I would go for jogs.
Yeah, I still can't believe that.
It's so wild. People, like I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast, but like people would literally mock. So I run and my knees go inward a little bit and people would mock me on the street, like walk in front of me and then mock the way I ran. It happened to
that's
me five
diabolical.
Times, which is, I mean, it's
like, what the fuck
it's
is
cruel.
Wrong with
also, like it's mean. Like running
I've
is hard.
I've never seen anyone run.
It actually seems crazy because it hasn't happened to me now in
oh good maybe
in like 3 years.
Like,
so I just have this like theory that like people were like, yes, I don't know, something shifted, and a lot of more people are running outside now.
I do notice that it's been sunny for like 3 days in a row in Paris, which never happens, and people are
out running. Yeah,
it's still cold, but people are like, who cares?
They'll take it. They'll take it. I'll take it too.
Yeah, that's all I have. Do you have any updates? Anything you wanna?
No, I'm gonna be honest. I've got basically nothing from this week. I'm trying to think of anything fun that I did.
Did you do anything? Did you go anywhere cool this week?
Not really.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Sorry.
It's all good.
I'm not a cool food girl like you.
I had a big food week for sure. It was not planned. It just kind of happened, like, hey, do you want to catch up? Do you want to do this? And it just happened to line up that I went to like a lot of really good places. And then we're trying to do date night every Friday. And we went to a cool pizza place in the 11th. Of course, every cool place in Paris opens in the 11th, which is kind of annoying because it's
across. Yeah, it's far from you. Yeah, yeah.
But it's a bike ride really for good. Me, but
yeah, it was good. It was pizza. Really good.
Yeah, right? Ubats. Yeah. I think it's also owned by an American, Canadian.
I think it might Australian, be as well.
Something yeah. like that. Definitely not a French person.
Yeah, I think it might be because my friend was talking about how their like staff is nicer.
Oh, the staff is super nice. They're also very cool too. Okay. Actually,
Gabby obviously and I American. Just
kidding. Gabby and I just went to a coffee shop and we were talking about how like the barista was just like very cool looking, and like I was like, I feel like I'm in Brooklyn because he was just like a very cool like.
No, it's rare.
Guy.
It's rare that someone. I mean, I guess that brings us to our subject.
Yeah,
today. It's
exactly.
rare that
what
someone
a
in
perfect
Paris.
Perfect transition. I know. It's like it was planned, but it wasn't.
But it really is rare that someone in Paris looks like. Cool.
Yeah,
I hate
so
to say that.
We're gonna
true.
Talk about. We're trying to figure out how to frame it, but talking about is Paris actually a stylish city or is it like? It,
wait, that's a really good. That I mean, we're talking about how to frame it. You framed it really well.
Yeah, like because I think that's
a non-incendiary way to frame.
Well, like, is Paris actually like the most stylish city in the world? Which
yeah.
I think
fashion
often,
capital. I think it's considered fashion like capital, fashion capital.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, does fashion capital equal most stylish?
Right.
And I don't think that that's true.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, I think when I first moved here, I did Run the Runway in New York. I loved playing with things. And then I moved here and I felt like, in terms of a clash, I really feel like my style came right up against a lot of stares. And I'm not, I mean, you know me, I don't even wear color. Like, but I just would have like chunky boots or I wear a lot of like really oversized boxy shapes. I would go into the stores. First of all, I can't find anything in my size.
Oh my God.
Nothing oversized. And they'd all comment. And then when I do wear it, it's just like, I feel people really look at me.
Yeah.
And you wear color. Like you've got
a
bright neon pink sweater on right now.
I'm a color girl. And then when I lived in New York, I was like, my style was fucking crazy. And like for New York, it was actually quite like,
tame, really
standard, like tame.
We should post some reference pics maybe.
I will,
yeah.
And I was doing Run the Runway as well, so mm-hmm. sometimes I would run like insane crazy shit.
Well, you can
like,
experiment with that, like it's yeah. like you can take a risk
and even here I do like the equivalent of Run the Runway in Paris, it's
which is cool.
Le Closet. I'll put my discount code if you want to use.
Ooh,
it
yeah, good idea.
It's good. It's not as good because it doesn't have designer clothes like Run the Runway did.
What brands does it have?
It's like kind of mid, like okay. not mid like in the Gen Z way, mid like mid-tier.
Mid-tier,
like it's not
yeah,
like
yeah.
super expensive. It's fine. It has some cute things. It has some edgier things, but it's pretty tame compared
to Run the Runway. Yeah.
But I still do it because it's like it allows me to play with my style a little more, and I think I've been a little more adventurous ever since I started doing it. But I got the same thing when I first moved here, particularly with makeup and colors, because I used to do a lot of like colored eyeliners.
Wait, I didn't.
Yeah,
did I know you when you did that?
I don't think so. I think I stopped doing it very quickly because I was like, "Why is everyone?"
People think
at me?
You're like a clown. Like it's
yeah,
so
they, like,
abhorrent.
They
yeah,
will stare at
stare.
You.
Wait, did you notice? Sorry, this is like tangential, but I'm gonna like gossip on the pod. Did you notice that guy at breakfast this morning? Danny and I had breakfast this morning, and the dad wouldn't stop. And I'm pretty sure at one point his wife commented because I was like so uncomfortable. No, I don't. I actually, I mean, I was like paying hyper attention to it because he wouldn't stop staring at us. We did say fuck like 4,000 times.
You think because they had a baby? Is it the baby?
Oh, the baby doesn't speak French. Who cares? Everybody tries.
The baby
doesn't speak
English. The baby was a potato. He doesn't even know how.
Yeah, like we're not going to influence them for a French speaking baby. But like, I couldn't tell. Like, I kept looking up, and he kind of
was
like looking
at the table because the baby was next to me. Yeah, I was like, I don't want to make eye contact with the baby. not like anything bad, but you know, people are weird about their babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want them to be like, why is this stranger
looking at
my
baby? Yeah.
And the baby was like next to me. I felt the baby was looking at me.
The baby was
looking.
And so then at one point they were laughing because the baby, I'm pretty sure the baby like wanted to hang out with us.
Oh, that's exactly what I was feeling.
You felt
the
you felt
the
envy from the baby. You're like,
the baby was like, I want to hang.
You're
like,
we're so much more fun than those baby's parents.
I was like, this baby wants to hang with us, and I don't want that. I know I was gonna turn and look at the baby, and he was gonna get it on my lap or something, and then I was gonna freak out because I'm like, I don't know,
Danny.
I don't know what the protocol is with
this.
Just
me the other day,
baby.
My friend asked if I wanted to hold her baby. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't know how.
Fair enough, but that's what I'm saying. I was
oh,
just
that's
like,
so
I
funny.
I was just like, I just felt the baby,
but it's funny. Like all I could focus on was like, I think I was like, we're American. We're I don't know, like clearly like I don't know, whatever. I just like thought we were getting so many stares, but French people are really bad about that. They just stare all the time. And I always get it from them. And I used to always get it from them when I was dressed like mildly differently. And if, guys, if you would see how I was dressed, you'd be like, that's insane. You're dressed so normal. But
that's what, for me, it was the color thing. I stopped wearing. I mean, now I'm like reclaiming
color. Yeah, you're obviously having like a renaissance, I think.
I'm reclaiming color again. I'm like, fuck it. So kind of going back to the topic, it's like, is Paris actually like the fashion capital of the world and or the most stylish city in the world? And I think for me, when I moved here, I was expecting something very close to New York, where it's like you see fashionable people everywhere. You see people wearing insane shit and you see people wearing like really cool shit and really fashionable things. I don't think Paris is. I find Paris Parisians to be really good at classic styles, like the classic timeless styles, like that don't really have like a season or it's not really a trend anymore. So they're really good at those. I can find you give an example? To be very bland. Like tailored pants with like a white t-shirt and a blazer. Like something super simple and like ballet flats.
And you think they're good at that or they just
good
do
at
it?
They do it a lot, so they're good at it. But I don't find that to be
necessarily go hand in hand.
I don't find that to be like the most like fashion forward thing. I just think that's something.
I think I'm gonna go with you that a tailored slack is not the most fashion forward thing.
But that's what I think they're good at. Yeah. I don't necessarily think they're the most innovative when it comes to fashion. I find that New York is
just dynamic. France is not dynamic. And it's funny because I think we have this perception of France. And you know what annoys me? It's like during Fashion Week, I'll look at the coverage of fashion in Paris. And
yeah, but
it's
not real.
It's not real. And so they're taking photos of like the Paris fashion girl.
Yeah.
And the Paris fashion girl has a really elevated basic. Like she'll have a really like a really sharp trench. She'll be extra long or something with like a high stiletto, a $400 pair of jeans. That's not what the average French people, first of all, don't make very much money. No. So for the most part, they're not like changing up their outfits often and they're not spending a ton of money. Most of the French brands are pretty mid-range.
Yeah.
But haute couture is like something entirely different, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
But this is day to day.
It's very rare that I'm walking around and I see someone with cool style here.
Yeah.
I think that happens more in like the younger neighborhoods. Like I feel like the 11th and like the 20th. Like,
right.
Where the younger, cool people hang. You can see that. There's really
cool. A little
cool.
bit more, yeah.
And like we were talking earlier, like old people have
the best
style.
Yeah, I want like the grand exception to all this is like elderly women. And they're like great fur coats and they're big earrings. And like
they also have like, I saw an older woman the other day with like purple hair. And I'm
cool.
like, because they don't give a fuck.
Cool. They'll have also like embroidered blades. Like they'll have cool shit that like looks really good on them.
Or like a whole, like the other day I saw a lady with like a lime green suit, like head to toe lime. Cool. And I'm like, and then I saw her and I was like, yeah, like old French women don't care
maybe
about
that's part
fashion
of it.
Rules.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to wear.
They're more playful
the
than the young women here.
I do think the myth of the effortless style and the effort, like the cool Parisian or French girl aesthetic is kind of bullshit.
I think it's effortless, but it's not cool. So
I don't
like,
think it's effortless. I think there's a lot of effort that goes
what,
into
their
it.
Jeans? Okay, my hot take is that every French girl looks exactly the same. And she wears a pair of like very weirdly light shaded jeans that I don't like. Then she wears a pair of white sneakers, usually they're Veja. And then a trench coat that I every time I say trench, I go trench coat button to the top ballet. You know, the whole Lily. Oh my God, I can't stop repeating it. The Lily Rose Depp line. It's like a trench coat, but like it's not even like. Like, I love a good trench coat. It's not even a cool trench coat. It's like a trench coat that I find really mediocre. This was like the biggest shock when I moved here.
That people were in.
That it was this outfit on repeat and it wasn't even good.
That's exactly what I thought too. I was like, I haven't seen a single person that I'm like, I want to whip out my phone and take a sneaky picture of
And
them.
In New York, it's like every millisecond I
and
see that.
We were talking about this offline earlier. I didn't realize it until I went to London for the first time. And I was like, everyone here is so cool. I find London is a very stylish city, very similar to New York. There's a lot of texture and color and diversity. Yeah. It's just more eclectic and fun, and even shopping wise
fun is a good word for it.
They're having fun.
Yes,
some of it doesn't make sense. Like in New York, some people wear crazy shit and like what are they thinking, but like you also don't care because it's New York and no one cares. And I find London has like very similar attitude towards fashion.
You know how you really notice it too, like the vintage pulls, like the buys and the vintage stores are so different. Like here every single vintage store has just like a row of jeans, a row of like it's just like, it's pretty straightforward. And in London, it's like chaos and chaotic and fun. And it's just like the giant, I remember like I was so drawn to this like giant knitted sweater with like a huge duck on it. Like a place in London. Like you would never find that here.
My favorite easily. Store ever is in London. And I don't know if I ever took you, but it's this lady who does half vintage, half.
That's when you got your coat?
Upcycled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Upcycled. And
you need to post a lot of photos, I feel like, in terms of reference.
I love that store because it's just so like colorful and fun, and everything is one of a kind. She doesn't have like doubles of anything, so you buy whatever you buy there, you're the only one who has that, which I find very cool. That's why I love to vintage shop here. I don't love to shop. I don't know how you feel about shopping here. I mean, I do my rental thing because it's like convenient and it's like quite affordable here.
Yeah.
And it gives me that like rush of shopping, even though I'm not shopping. And I find like jeans impossible for me to find here. Yeah. I have to go to London to buy my jeans, or online.
I go to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then vintage Gap. Wise,
you know me and Gap.
Like, tiny.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. What do you think is the allure? Okay, so we were talking about this because like my friend Daisy wrote this article for Vogue, and it's called The Myth of Effortless Style.
Yeah.
And we were reading it as we were talking about this. Shout out to Daisy because it's a really good article. I would highly recommend it because it really talks psychologically and societally why we're so allured by this idea of like an effortless style. Yeah. Why do you think people... I mean, just like freestyle, but like, why do you think people are so into the idea of like appearing effortless?
I think it's really tied to being rich / having money. Because in order to quote unquote wake up like this, you have to put in a lot of, you have to invest a lot in like the way your face looked, the way you did your hair.
It's like upfront investment. Yeah. It's like behind the scenes investment.
Yeah. It's not always what you're wearing that day, but like, yes. If, or like, you know, all those celebrities are like, I'm not wearing makeup anymore, but they still look like perfect. And it's like, yeah, but you have
Pam
like,
Andy.
Well,
but she actually, does look really good.
Yes, she does look good. But I actually buy it from her more than I do from like, I think it's Alicia Keys who's doing it.
Oh, and I'm like, it's true. It's true. Okay. Do you think she's actually not wearing, or do you think she has like massive skincare stuff?
She's probably doing all the fucking vampire lasers. Yeah. All the, yeah, sure. If I can afford
it. I really want to get a vampire facial.
I really want to get like my face lasered off.
Same.
Like, I don't even know what it does.
Rip it off. Throw a new one on.
Give me a new one.
I'm the same like, way.
Let me melt it away so a new one grows.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Oh my God. I love being a woman so much. Anyway, what a joyful experience we get to have.
But yeah. But okay. So my beef with this is I think it's fake. So the effortlessly chic French girl aesthetic, like it's like this whole like philosophy around how, you know, everything's like understated and like you're a natural beauty and like everything you come with like a sense of ease and it just embodies like an undone look, but like in a way that it looks good, you know, not like I have a messy bun and it's like perfect, like the way your hair falls. And it's like, that's just not the reality for a lot of people. So it's really unattainable for most people. And they're trying to sell it as like, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't, like, you can't.
So this is what I find. So Daisy had this line in her piece I like keep thinking about. I mean, thinking about for the last 10 minutes, but have been thinking about for 10 minutes. Which is the idea that it's like kind of like a cool girls club. Like they say effortless. Everyone says effortless because then it makes it seem like it's just, that's exactly it. Like you're either in or you're out.
Yeah. You can't put any effort to achieve it.
Yeah. And it makes it seem like it is impossible to join. Whereas like it's absolutely not impossible to join. I mean, it's financially prohibitive for a lot of people, but it's not impossible. But they sort of just like love to have this exclusive world they live in. And then she also says that apparently like, I mean, there's like psychological studies that people are less willing to try when they feel like it's impossible. So it just, yeah, it's kind of like put society into these like two different.
It's kind of like the whole categories. Idea of like, what are the chances you're going to become a billionaire? And you're probably like, I'm not. So why am I going to try?
Why don't I try? Exactly.
So it's like, so what are the chances I'm going to wake up looking like a effortlessly.
Which makes me, it makes me sad. So I used to be, get ready for it, the personal stylist at the Anthropology in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh my God, that sounds like hell.
Yeah.
I did do windows for Anthropology for a little bit.
Wait, you did? I didn't know that.
For like
you were like the window girls were like the cool girls.
Yeah, but it sucked because I had to go in at 3 in the morning to like fucking...
To like take toilet paper rolls and like make them into like, a Christmas tree.
Yeah, hard labor for like my boss was a cool girl. She was like, put this, put that.
Oh, God, those anyway, window girls were so cool.
So you were styling girls?
So I was styling, but it was like a lot of women. You know, like it was like 45, 50-year-old women. And I felt so bad because they would come in and they just like, they're like, I just don't get it. And I feel like what this like striation of society does is it makes people feel like you said, like it's like, it's absolutely futile to try. And I would watch how these women would light up so much. And I'm not saying there's some people who don't get joy from it and there's some people who don't, but I do think most people tend to light up when they feel good and they think they look good. I think anyone who's watched Queer Eye sees that.
Yeah, so that's why we're obsessed with shopping.
Yes. But yes, I mean, but it annoys me. And that's its own thing. That's its own dopamine hit. But it annoys me when like people feel like they are like, oh, I don't care about fashion. I don't care about style. Cause it's like, well, for most people, this would be a little moment to access joy in your day to day life that you're not getting to because it, like society is making you feel like that if it's not effortless for you, there's no point, you know?
So I have a question for you. Do you think style is something that you learn or something that some people are just good at and others?
Well, it's like, so to me, it's like, what is style? Because right. I actually have friends who work in fashion and dress in ways that I would never dress. Like back in New York, I was talking to a couple girls and I was thinking about this and I was like, they're wearing things that I would never wear, but they're really obsessed with style and they would consider themselves to be like tuned in terms of fashion, but it's not my style. So then I think that comes down to personal style.
Totally.
And that's to me is having intentionality and a point of view. Like more than anything, it's being like, this brings me joy. This makes me feel good. I put it on my body. But
I agree. I actually think style is more to do with confidence than with what you're actually wearing. And same thing. I think the most stylish people that I find the most stylish are often people that wear shit that I wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
But because they're so confident in what they're wearing, I'm like, you're automatically cool.
It's true. It's that like you don't perfect. Care. Yeah. It's like.
But it's hard though because
they don't. But they don't not. This is what I want to like.
Well,
dissect. They don't not care.
That's true.
They're not maybe insecure.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. You don't care that you're wearing like a pink fur coat and people are gonna stare at you.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. We're like we were just started this saying how we change our styles because French people are staring.
Yeah,
us.
And that's something. What but I think mean. You're entering the stage of not caring, which is you're
reaching. I've lived here long enough where I'm like I really don't give a fuck. But also, I do think that. The landscape is changing a bit.
I do think it's changing. Even in 5 years, I've seen it. I think it's different. Yeah.
I do think, not in the neighborhood I live in necessarily, but when I go to like the 11th or like where the younger Gen Z people live or hang out.
I'm surprised you literally live where like sex work is. You think that people would just be more.
I live in the most, it's pretty bland around here, I feel. I feel like this is like Williamsburg.
When I guess it's all the fast casual places or what?
It's like VJs everywhere and like the same outfits. Yeah. I don't see necessarily cool people on the rag here. I think they're either on the other side of the river, like you said, and they're old people, or they're like Gen Z and they're like in the, like, I don't want to call them up and coming neighborhoods, but you know, the neighborhoods that are like, like a Belleville or like,
no, but I think, you know, I think we were talking about this before, but there's like an interesting conversation happening on TikTok around how style is utility and how we've kind of lost that. Like our clothes used to serve a purpose. Like I referenced the barber quote, but like people used to wear stuff because it like had a functionality, like it stopped the rain or it helped you go hunting.
That's
or
also why I love vintage clothes because it's built to last.
Yeah, built to last. Exactly it. And also it was built like for something. And they've been talking about
purpose.
And on social, it's like we've sometimes lost this like comfort in our clothes because I feel like it's like performative or it's just like surface. It's like not serving some functionality
like
for us.
Over consuming and like we're shopping so much. And I think we have enough clothes to like dress the next 6 or 7 generations.
Oh, I'm out of, if you saw the number of sweaters I have, you'd be so disturbed in my apartment right now. It's out of control. I need like a wall of shelves just to house my sweaters.
I stopped shopping. I don't know how you feel. Did you feel like you're not shopping as much since you moved into France?
I definitely not, but since my breakup, it's been a really strong coping max. So I've definitely spent like thousands since
I definitely
my breakup.
Don't shop as much as I used to when I lived in the U.S.
No.
So this whole myth of like the French girl aesthetic was exported by American and British media.
I wonder what the first article was that did it.
Well, they don't, I'm sure I can find that, but basically what I found is like it was promoted by American and British fashion magazines like Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and
Vogue.
While actual French women do have great sense of style, like we said, like this is a very generalized take, but there's a lot of fashionable French women too. The romanticized French girl aesthetic or stereotype is often exaggerated, which is what the whole
we're
conversation
talking about,
we just had. But that's what happens with the media a lot. And again, when I always joke that we told French people they were good at everything for too long. That's what I mean. Like the media being like French girl skincare, French girl fashion, French girl diet, French girl blah blah blah. And sure.
Do you think it's just because everyone's been here?
I think because France, specifically Paris, for many years in culture was like the innovator and the first to do all these things. And they did put a lot of things on the map. But I think it's been a long time since they were
relevant
that person. they were that girl. They haven't been that girl in a while. I mean, and that doesn't take away from, like, culturally, it's such a rich country, it's such a rich city. They have great things. Yeah. But are they the best at it
anymore? Well, in terms of fashion, I would, unless you're talking about, like, couture houses and that sense, like, I don't think I have enough knowledge, I'll be fully honest with you. But even so, I kind of think that the influence of sportswear and ready-to-wear, specifically coming from the U.S., has had an influence.
Well, and I think there's also a little bit of the problematic side to this, like, kind of stereotype. And I think that's why maybe it's kind of lost a little bit of the shine that it maybe had back in the day. And it's like, it promotes an unrealistic standard of what, quote unquote, being effortless means. But also, it's very exclusive. Like you said, it's not for everyone. It's not inviting for people to try it. Mm. And I think the biggest thing is that it really lacks diversity. Because when you think of the French girl aesthetic, you think of a white woman, a white
thin woman. Exactly. Yeah.
And when you come to France, you realize that's not what everybody looks like.
Especially not now. I think our friend Lindsay has, like, a really good book on this.
Yes. Yeah. She is called The New Parisienne, and it's all about kind of showing that the quote-unquote, like,
Parisian woman
is not what you think. Like, it's not, she looks very different now.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest, like, I would say controversies, or the reason people push back with this about the stereotype. People like Lindsay are very, like, she's very outspoken about it, because she's like, this is a lie. Like, the Parisian girl is not the girl that works, like, the perfectly tailored jeans.
It's not Sylvie.
Which is actually kind of an interesting, so they use fashion in that show, in Emily in Paris, they exaggerate everything through fashion. So they're kind of making the stereotype of the French girl, cool French girl, through Sylvie. And they make Emily the clown, because she's the American with no sense of style. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get it, but I'm also like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Americans don't dress crazy like that all the time. They use fashion to really
amplify
the stereotype.
Yeah.
And be like, Americans are stupid and crazy and they don't have style. And look at this, like, beautiful woman who's, like, older yet more stylish and skinny and beautiful and, like, effortless. Not a stitch of makeup on her.
The one part that I do like about it, and this is, like, could be a whole other episode maybe we do with someone who's, like, 20 years older than us or something, I think it would be cool. We keep saying this and we don't even know how to connect a third mic to our to our recording software.
We'll have guests soon once we figure out how to set this up.
So that's probably on me and I haven't figured it out yet. But I do like that they let Sylvie be a sexual person in that show, and I feel like that is what I'm most drawn to in that entire series.
We're talking about being prude in a little bit later in the segment.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of things about the character that I like. Particularly how they use fashion in the show to kind of draw the wedge between the Americans and the French people is what bothers me, though I understand
What's her name, Mindy, right?
Oh my god. I think she's actually worse than Emily.
Those outfits. Yeah. Like, what is all that spandex doing?
Is she American?
She's like a Broadway star.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
But in the show, is she supposed to be American?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well. Maybe Canadian? They make them dress like clowns. Oh, Camille is the other one. She is like
Camille
the
epitome is like, of, like, I love her French style. Girl. Yeah. But she's the epitome of a cool fashion week French girl. No normal French girl would dress like that.
Yeah, you're so right. She's like influencer.
Like cool blazers. Like, I wear you know me, I'm a blazer girl. Someone once told me I was like an anthropomorphic blazer.
Who told you that? But
like a blazer with legs, but like
you're a blazer with legs, that's amazing.
But I like love a blazer. It's like, if you tell me to dress up, it's like blazer or nothing.
She's like, should I wear my party blazer?
It's truly literally it.
No, yeah, you said
like
this.
My sexy blazer, my like edgy. I have like a blazer
for Tara's birthday when she was like, the theme is you have to dress like an icon. It's like, okay, which blazer am I bringing to this?
That's exactly it. I think that's who told me. So I love a blazer, but even when I wear like my oversized blazers, you know, that I love, I get looks. Like, that's not what sexy would be here. And that's kind of what Camille in the show wears, like a cool, sexy blazer, you know?
But okay, so going back to something, and I will say, because I feel like I don't want to just go on a negative note, I do think they're really good, like I said, at classic styles. And in my opinion, they nail the everyday classic look that just looks really, really good. And I want to be able to incorporate that into my wardrobe, like from time to time. And I do find inspiration in some cases in that respect. The interesting thing about Paris that I also found very different from what I expected or I thought is I thought Paris was going to be more elegant, or people were going to be more dressed up than they actually are. Oh, I find Paris to be very casual.
Yeah.
People don't dress up. people barely wear heels or like a ton of makeup or get their hair done. And it's funny because we had a dinner. I don't know if you came in the Greek restaurant like a few years ago. And we had a French friend that came, and her one comment, which wasn't mean or anything, she's like, yeah, you could tell you were all American. All of you had like a blowout. Like our hair was done.
Well, you know that wasn't me.
Well, but but I was like, that is funny. But that I was funny, laughing because I was like, oh, I guess we did our hair. People don't really like dress up.
No, and I'm always really nervous about it. Like I'm always really nervous. You know what I think it is? Like the US is extremes. So it's like we're kind of like on all one end, like we're extremes or all.
And also it depends where in the US.
Yeah.
Because Miami.
Oh.
It's like you are done up.
Oh my God, I was shocked. I've been to Miami once and my mind was like exploding. Every person was like a supermodel. They were all like, their boobs were everywhere.
Every time I go to Miami, stilettos. I'm like, oh fuck, I forget that you have to have like hair, makeup, nails, stilettos, the tightest fucking dress you own, titties out. Like, it's crazy. And if you don't, then you look like a slob. Oh, like, who let the ballet parking person in? Like, oh, it's like, it's really drastic. But then New York is like a mix. Like, sometimes people dress up.
New York has a big going out culture where, like, girls will get, like, really done up. Yeah. But I also think, like, New York, like, I mean, all or nothing, too. It's, like, in the sense that someone could be wearing, like, a really fun, crazy outfit. Or they could be literally wearing their pajamas down the street. And France is, like, a middle ground. Like, everything is middle. Like, they don't want you to be wearing your pajamas. They don't want you to be wearing sweatpants for the most part. And they'll bun you a little bit. But then here, like, they're also not going to, like, go crazy and dress up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I noticed the first time I went back. When I went back to New York, Paul and I were a little jet lagged, so we woke up super early. It's like 8 or 7:30 in the morning, and we went for a walk, and we saw so many girls, like, walking their dogs or buying toilet paper or whatever, and they were, like, straight up in their pajamas.
Pajamas, like, full pajama pants. And like, they'll have, like, fried eggs, like, on their pajamas. You know what I mean? Like,
I miss this. Like, who? No one cares.
Oh, I miss the way that I miss a bodega run.
I miss putting my shoes on. And I'm wearing pajamas, throw on a coat because it's winter. And I'm like, I got to run to the pharmacy real quick. And no one gives a fuck that I'm wearing like.
Do you think that's why French people love trench coats? Because it's like an easy way. Like sometimes when I have to go get a package downstairs, I'll have like literally like underwear and a tank top on. And I'll just like throw a trench coat on.
I just, I don't know. It's like
their easy shortcut to being presentable.
I kind of, to me, it's just like an interesting contrast of being like, we're not going to go over the top. We're not going to be like crazy dressed up. Like, we're not gonna be like a Miami where like you're gonna wear like a crazy dress like that shows
apparently half. Even to weddings
that yeah they, even to weddings everything's invited, course, I find but... everything more casual yes here.
That's what I've been told.
And but at the same time it's like, yeah, like if you wear certain things, like if you go, apparently this never happened to me, but I've heard from friends, like if you go out with your hair wet, people look at you weird. Yeah. And I know like when you wear your workout clothes, like people that go to the gym will change.
I know.
I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm wearing my leggings in the streets and you got to deal with it.
Yeah, it is changing. I'm noticing it's changing, especially with the rise of like ClassPass and workout classes and all these like Pilates, blah, blah, blah. It's changing, but it definitely is still.
It's definitely changing. Yeah. Yeah. But it, to me, it's just really interesting how. So for me, the two main things that stood out to me were like, I thought people would be more stylish or rather.
I thought people would be
cooler. More innovative with their style and more like willing to try new things. I didn't know it was going to be so cookie cutter here with style.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is like, yeah, people are. It's very like the same. People wear the same thing. And then people don't really dress up. I had a perception of Paris being more like dressier,
yeah,
and it's not, and so which is actually,
but
I
it
prefer.
Is kind of
I prefer it because
too, but
I
it
hate.
Is kind of a paradox, like because it's yeah, like, it's not dressy, but it's still presentable.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
In the US, you can be non-presentable, and here you always have to be presentable, but like not like done up. If you go too far,
yeah, like you can't look like you tried.
Yes, you tried too hard, and that's when they'll really look at you. And I've noticed that is when I mean I'm like not really gonna veer on that side of things, but even when I do go a little more eclectic with the style, like that is when I get the eyes.
And then the only exception to all those rules, hair, makeup, style, is old women.
Yeah,
old women don't give up.
They nail it. They're special, and
they get their hair done every week, which is something.
Do
also,
they? How do you know that?
They just look like they do.
I need
like,
more old women in my life. I need more old people in my life, which friend. Is just like, same. Do you know one time a guy came up to me and it was by the park?
Yes,
you told me. Yeah, I told you that. And like, for a story for you guys, like he was like 80, and he was really kind of like weird. But he came up to me, asked for directions, and then he lingered, and I was like, "Can I help you?" And he was like, basically like, "I'm alone. I need a friend." Sort of. That's
and
kind
you
of
were
the
like,
vibe.
That's
so
my
I felt so bad. I was
dream.
Like, "This is my dream. I want an elderly friend I can go for walks in the park with." So I I can see it. I go for a walk in the park with him. And the entire time he like tells me about like how much he wants to find a girlfriend and how much he needs love. And I was like, I was like, I felt weird, which I always trust my gut. So I like felt weird. And I texted a couple of friends and I was like, am I crazy?
No, this man,
I was like
30
at the time. Exactly. I was like 30. So I was like, am I crazy?
How old was he?
80.
But that's like normal in friends.
80 and 30? Danny. No.
I don't want to normalize this, but no. He probably was like, I got a shot.
Okay. Definitely. So yes. So I asked my friends, I was like, does this guy like think he's gonna go out with me? They're like, Gabby, put nothing past a Frenchman. So then he called me like, I'm not even kidding, 50 times, and I never picked up again. And I felt really bad about it because like,
Gabby, you should date him for the plot. For the podcast. I went out with an 80-year-old. Oh, I see the cut. I dated an 80-year-old and this is what happened.
No. I don't think so. But anyway, so I need more elderly friends, but like ones who aren't gonna like, I don't know. Be weird.
Well, any closing statements on fashion and Paris being a fashionable fashion?
No, I'm really curious what people think, because this is something that I'll say to people and they'll be shocked by, because I just think there's such like an idolization. So I'm really curious if people agree or disagree.
I agree.
Who spent a significant amount of time here.
I think Paris got is really good at branding themselves as that, but then I think the reality is a little different, or at least like what, again, and this is like a personal opinion, what I find stylish,
right,
I don't think is.
Oh my god, fits. I just said right.
Right.
What happened?
Right. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
Presto.
Oh.
Sorry. We're speaking Italian. Offline.
Okay, it's time for our next segment. How do you not know this? This is our segment where we each bring something from culture and we tell the other person about it. And then we basically shame them for not knowing about it. What do you got for me, Danny?
Oh my God. Mine is going to be short because I actually don't know that much about it.
We should call this segment. It should be a different name. It should be like,
I actually don't know this either. No, I want to talk about something that two of our friends told me about. And it's really crazy. So Tara and Jess separately told me about this.
How do we use people's names on this? Like as if everyone is supposed to know who, like,
I mean, I know Tara loves when we shout her out. Okay. So, yeah, and I'm sure Jess, she's a Leo, so she'll probably love it too.
All right, okay.
But basically, they told me about this. So there's a conspiracy theory that's actually quite known in France. Like French people have heard about it for years, but it's not making its rounds in the U.S. And it's actually, you know, are you familiar with the Candace Owens Macron beef?
No.
So basically, there is an old kind of like conspiracy theory that a lot of French people are familiar with, that it's now making its rounds in the U.S. thanks to Candace Owens. Candace Owens, I'm sure you've heard about her. Lovely woman.
Not a fan.
Well, yeah, she basically used to be more political, like in the content creation space. Like she was like super, super conservative.
She's
Republican.
Trump-y.
Oh, yeah. Like hates Obama, like all these like things. Yeah. Problematic, because she's also a black woman, but like very anti-black rhetoric. So anyway, she used to be much more political, but now she's pivoted and she's like now trying to break more into pop culture. And I think you said there's an article about it. I think The Cut wrote about her.
Yeah, apparently, like, I guess like she's swaying people.
Well,
on
she
the left,
because
like,
you know what happened, she started reporting on the Justin Baldoni Blake Lively thing and got like a whole new audience.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's basically what she went viral for.
Whose side is she on, or is she on either?
I think she's on Justin Baldoni's, I believe.
But
basically, I think she saw it as like a business opportunity. She's like kind of tapping into a new audience that maybe didn't know who she was when she was doing the political stuff. And so she's like being smart and thinking like, how can I monetize this? So now she's getting into conspiracy theories from abroad. Particularly the one that I was mentioning is a French one, and it's that Brigitte Macron, the first lady of France, is a man, and somehow is a man, but also related to Emmanuel Macron, the president of France.
And so, that couple doesn't have enough gossip against them already.
And sure, is it a weird age gap, and the fact that she was his teacher?
Yeah,
is
if
it
you guys don't know that, yeah, the president of France ended up marrying
his drama teacher.
Well, what was that, high school?
She's
20.
So.
She's over 30
years older.
She's 30 years older than
30.
Him? I mean, that's pretty insane.
Yeah. So it obviously the couple is like
already its own. Yeah.
But okay, so this is a conspiracy theory that another, like a French conspiracy theorist, like has been talking about for years, and I guess she collaborated, stole it for him. I'm not sure. And so now that's her beat. Brigitte Macron is a man.
I'm so surprised Americans actually even care about like.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Like, it's an interesting.
Love to call women.
It's an interesting story. But it's like, yeah. But it's like, yeah. It's like, what do you mean the French first lady is a man? Like,
so mean.
It's insane.
So mean.
Also,
like
so okay. So our friends, so she has a YouTube channel where she talks about it, and I was like, okay, let's watch it, let's see what this is all about, like what is her, what's her, like what is she bringing to the table to you know, say these things, like what are her facts. And we try to watch it, honestly it was unbearable. Bullshit. Yeah. We couldn't finish it and we kept on skipping over parts because she was just like very repetitive.
What is she, what are her, like what, I don't even want to give her a platform, but
I like, honestly like honestly we couldn't sit through it. And yeah. It was like very like there's no baby pictures of her or something, or like okay. pictures of her, and then something well, around like a kind anyway. Of, I don't know, it was honestly it was really weird. It
They're
was just like
potatoes,
but also that's not proof in my opinion. Like I'm sure there are baby pictures.
No, that's like, that's there's a name for that, like false something, like, yeah, you know, just because one thing is not, you know, whatever.
And then she kept on doing like stuff like there's a portrait of Emmanuel Macron, so there's a picture of him, like a presidential picture or something, like an official portrait, and there's a book in the background, and the book was written by a guy in like years ago, and that guy ended up being a pedophile. And then she's like, therefore, they support pedophiles.
No, this is, I need to figure out what this name is. It's like, you know, it's like okay. this because this. And it's like that. They're not the same. They don't, one doesn't
yeah,
necessitate the other.
One doesn't, yeah, exactly. So then it's like, so she does a lot of that
yeah, of course.
In the video that I saw. And so me and my friends were like, okay. And then it's like the rug that they put in the, what is it called? The French White House, the Palais Elysee like or whatever. Like the rug that they put in his office was designed by a guy that ended up being like accused of sexual harassment.
What does that have to do with her being a man?
Literally. Because I guess they were trying to say that she's
so like anti-trans vibes to me, like falsely well, absolutely. Like calling people.
But
I mean,
also
just,
it's like
unreal.
If she was a man, who the fuck?
Who cares?
Who cares? That's between her and Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway,
I'll keep my eye out for it. So, I have my own thoughts on that couple and my own thoughts on Macron, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I don't really care who is a man and who is a woman.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just like, this is so fucking stupid. Yeah. Anyway, so what's
mine's
yours?
Much more stupid. PG? Well, actually, I don't know. They both.
Mine is pretty stupid.
Really stupid today. Mine is about the Salon de Agriculture. I actually cannot say that in a way that's like.
Salon d'Agriculture.
Agriculture.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we both did it perfectly. No notes. This is a thing in France that is just in theory, this is a like a festival. It's basically
a
imagine
county fair.
Yeah, it's a state fair, county yeah. fair on absolute crack cocaine. It is truly really the is. Most massive. There's like four massive like huge like buildings. And so the premise is that you can basically like tour France at one festival. So there's like hundreds of different stands with different food, and there's different regions. So every one of the stands falls underneath a different region of France. So you can go to like the Bordeaux region, and you can go to like the Champagne region, and you can have all these different regions. You tour around in the world. So you can try the food and the drink from that region. And this is all in the food section,
yep.
which is so cool. Like very to in cool. one like massive arena type situation, be able to just like bop around. I mean, everyone's wasted. It's so fun.
If you go on the weekend, beware.
It's, so this is like the caveat. Yeah. So the caveat, what's a bummer? So basically, like to finish it out, tons of cheese, tons of meats.
Really good food.
Like just really, really, really good food. It holds up. That's a few times I've been, I've loved it. The problem is these days it has just gotten so crowded. So would highly recommend going on a weekend. But it's a bummer that it's gotten that crowded, because in theory it's really cool. They also have an entire animal section.
Oh,
so
I love that side.
It's so fun. They have like, I mean, okay, this is the thing. This is how you know you're in France though. Like they'll have the cow section of like the cutest cows ever, and right next to it, they'll have like steaks for sale. It's
like a Lego
you can
ham.
Smell the steaks cooking when you're right next to. Yeah,
they have
the
pigs, fucking Lego ham next to the pigs. It's kind of it's kind of cruel.
It's odd. But the thing is, like, I think French people. Actually, you're gonna talk about this. Like, we'll talk about this like later on in the one of our episodes. But like, French people have a really kind of. What's nice is it's a farming culture, right? So they have a very realistic point of view of like what
the
animal, what
they're
eating.
Yeah, the chickens have their head when you buy it in the supermarket yes. here. Well, not everywhere.
A lot of them do though. But
in the farmer's markets.
Yeah. But part of me appreciates that. I mean, I was a vegetarian for 15 years, but part of me appreciates it still, because I'm like, I think if you're eating something, you should know what it is. So I do like that they have a realistic, though it is painful to be next to the cutest little pig and then like see
it's like a Lego ham.
It's crazy. They also have a dog section. They don't have any legs of
dog,
don't worry. They have like dogs, you can like pet them, all like giant Newfoundlands. They have cats too, you're right. I think they have like bunnies as well.
Yeah, basically, yeah, the dog section is great. The only thing is that they're all kind of drugged up, because it's a lot of people.
Oh, a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
touching them.
So, I mean, they're fine. They're not like unconscious, but you could tell they're very
a little drowsy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in theory, it's cool. I was telling Danny before that I feel like it's like a boon for E. coli, like back and forth between the food section and like the cow manure section. But yeah. I love it. I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm like a state fair girl.
You actually showed, you took me my first time ever.
Oh, it's
you,
so fun.
The first time I ever went, you took, oh, I kind of invited myself. I think you're like, I'm going to this thing with my friends. I'm like, okay, I'm coming too.
And it's, it was so really fun. It's just too crowded now. But anyway, if you're in France and you're here on you a weekday and you can go in like maybe an off hour, I'd highly recommend it. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's very cool. I really love that you get to eat all this stuff and then you get to party if you want also. It's just like a really
well they
cool
have the this is like the other problematic aspect. They have like the Colonies Arena.
Yeah,
I think they changed the name because it's pretty problematic.
Yeah, they're like the exotic foods.
Yeah, so there's like, it's just rum, so like and everyone like goes there.
There's like camels. Is there a camel? Yeah, there's camels in that section. I have a picture from last year.
So we can put it. France has some issues.
Of course.
But in like that section, it's like rum and everyone goes
there. Here are the places we colonize. Enjoy their foods.
No,
like literally. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think it literally used to be called the Colonies and they changed the name.
Yeah, now it's like.
To be like other territories.
It's like Martinique
or something.
And like. Yes. Like, yeah. It's usually like the most lit.
It's the most fun. It's the most fun. That's what everyone goes there at the end of the night. You're getting that, you know, that rum that's soaked in fruit or whatever. It's like that.
I had a coconut ice cream with rum.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. So it's fun at the end of the night, but
it was also 10 in the morning, but whatever.
No, but that's just fun. You can just be like wasted from like day up. I'm obviously in my mature stage of life, but anyways, that's mine.
You should definitely go. Now it's time for our next segment.
Snack and spiral. Spiral and snack.
Okay, what are you snacking on?
Well, we're both snacking on cheese today, but
I have been such a good influence on Danny.
We're leaving brunch and we just passed by the coolest cheese shop in the 18th and we're like, we have to go in there. It was a woman cheesemonger, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, they're very cool.
She was like very
cool.
She
had very badass energy.
She did. And I just love how cute the store was decorated. There's just like, I don't know, something
France
about
always
it.
Blows me away because, well, Paris specifically, but like everything is so quaint and beautiful. Like walking into that cheese shop, I feel like I was on a movie about Paris.
I wanted to have a photo shoot.
Yeah,
like
I
wanted to get in between. So basically she had like all these,
wanted
like
to get
a mountain
in between the cheese.
A mountain of cheeses.
Up in that cheese.
And I wanted to be like laid down, you know, in like that cheese movie where they throw, that was American Beauty, where it's like rose petals.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be
with
that,
cheese.
With cheese.
Okay, like, what kind of cheese though?
Well, my kind of cheese. Yeah. I'm a soft girl cheese normally.
Okay. You're a soft girl cheese.
I'm a soft girl cheese. I'm a soft cheese girl. Sorry.
Can you start an Instagram?
Soft girl
soft
cheese.
Soft girl cheese. That's such a good.
That's going to be the new TikTok trend.
Yeah, that's so
like clean
good.
Girl aesthetic.
Yeah,
soft,
yeah, exactly.
Soft girl cheese aesthetic. That's me. I'm going to start that one. Please give me all the money and the credit. But so I like cheese in general, obviously, but I normally gravitate towards soft cheeses.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's just like the ones that I like. And so I ended up getting a gorgonzola cheese from this shop and I was like, I actually don't know anything about gorgonzola cheese. So I just looked some stuff up before we started the pod.
Both of us are frauds through and through.
Well, I just, you know, sometimes you're like, I want to
eat something, but you don't know about it.
And I'm like, I know it's Italian.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
that
all
you
I
like
know.
It. And that's
and
all that
I
matters.
Like it.
Yeah.
And so basically I looked it up and it is Italian, as I suspected. There's actually a cheese, a town called Gorgonzola near Milan.
Ooh.
That's where it's from. Though.
That's cool.
And it's been around forever, since the 9th century. And it
Whoa.
Was kind of, yeah.
9th?
9th century. Well, they say dating back to at least the 9th or 10th century. So fucking forever. And the legend is that it was created by accident. And basically, it was supposed to be like a cheesemaker forgot. He was making a batch.
Don't you think all cheese was created by accident at some point, though? I'm like, yeah, why are they just leaving milk
for
to
sure.
curdle?
Yeah, for sure. But this particular cheese, he basically forgot that he had a batch of fresh cheese and then it just developed mold,
so
which
like
is the blue
squared.
Part
yeah
and then that's how is born
cool.
And it is mold, the blue part. And I know a lot of people know
part.
This but it's actually kind of the kind of mold that's good and it gives the cheese flavor, so you can very safe to eat, nothing's gonna happen to you. I know a lot of people are like weird about eating moldy cheese, but you'll be fine.
Yeah, if you're weird about eating moldy cheese, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. Leave us alone. Just
well,
kidding.
Some people,
just kidding.
Some people are. I mean,
we
to
need
be
all
fair,
the listeners we can take.
To be fair, it took me a while to get into blue cheese.
It's so funny because I have friends who like I don't like cheese, and then they're like I love gorgonzola, and I'm like, you went from 0 to 10,000.
Well, because it doesn't have the typical cheese flavor. It has like a very strong.
It has
flavor.
Like a, it has like a BO flavor.
Yeah, it's like
but like why would you go from like,
well,
why
don't
you start with like a parmesan?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's weird that if someone doesn't like cheese, they're like, I love gorgonzola. That would be like, that's like the last step.
But it's true. It's a bit diff. Do you eat it with?
So okay,
bread,
so
or like, what do you do?
Yeah, I love a baguette. So I looked it up. I'm like, what does it pair well with? And I normally
I love that you have to.
I'm like researching it. Like, Gorgonzola yeah. University over here. But I
Gorgonzola
you.
Gorgonzola shirts made that would take.
Let's
Gorgonzola
Let's make
you.
Merch. That's Gorgonzola University. Soft grilled cheese.
I'm like so obsessed with that. We should start a cheese shop called Soft Grilled Cheese.
Wait, should we pair up with Virginia?
Yeah,
I mean, and be like, hey,
yeah, it's called, this cheese shop is called Virginia, right?
Virginia. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think that's
her name.
Her name.
Was. I was like, was that Virginia?
Yeah,
herself?
We texted our friend Jess, who lives in the neighborhood, and we're like, hey, have you been here? She's like, my girl Virginia. Yeah. I was like, okay. Also, not surprised. But yeah. What was I gonna say about? Oh yeah, so I like to pair my. So normally, what I was reading is like it's a very versatile cheese, so it goes well with like many things. I personally love cheese of all kinds with a baguette, a flaky baguette. It's like my
Warm.
Favorite way. Ugh. But what I also do, which some Italians might clutch their pearls when I say this, even some French people, I like to put hot honey on it.
Okay, that sounds. So good. Yeah. I'm like salivating even thinking about that.
Well, and the reason I discovered this combination is because there's a pizza place in Miami that I love to go to when I'm home. It's called Mr. 01, and they have a really weird pizza.
Mr. 01?
Mr. 01.
Mr. 01. Okay.
Mr. 01.
Mr. 01.
And they have this pizza that's really weird, and either you love it or hate it.
Immediately in my head, I was like, Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, it's literally, it's owned by Pitbull. But no, this place, they have a really weird pizza that my friend Kathy loves, and she every time we go, we get it. Paul hates it. So it's like either you love it or you hate it, because it has very strong, bold flavors. So it's like basically normal pizza,
yeah.
But it has coffee grounds in the sauce, so they have the coffee.
What?
Yeah, and blue cheese. And they put some sort of like a hot honey on
what?
Top too. Yeah.
Mixed with a coffee flavor?
Yeah. And so it's really like the really strong flavors, because you have the coffee, you have the blue cheese, you have the honey. But I don't know. To me, it works. Like for me, it works. And I think it also has like not pepperoni, but some sort of like spicy situation, yum. Like spicy meats.
I'm a more is more girl. Like I
agree.
I would like it. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the kind of pizza you have to share. Maybe you can't. Eat the whole thing by yourself, because it's, like I said, it's like very
what is that
bold fine? Flavors.
Like any personal, any pizza is a personal.
It's a personal pizza, if you believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like I really like it, and that's the first time that I was like, okay, maybe I like blue cheese. If I
that
put
that was your like awakening.
That was my awakening.
Wow.
Because I didn't love blue cheese. Like I don't mind it in salads and stuff like that, but it wasn't like my favorite cheese. And now I'm like, I like it. I just have to put the little hot honey on top, and
little
I'm like,
hot huns.
Yeah,
and I love good. It with I'm obsessed with Roquefort. So I love a Roquefort, and they have this place called Laurent Dubois in Paris. There's a couple of different locations, and they have one that's like has like, it looks like a layer cake, and it has like pear, like or quince, you know, quince.
Okay.
Was like kind of like a little jelly, like gelée, sort of. Ooh. Like layered in between. And I love the way like a blue cheese Roquefort,
yes.
Gorgonzola paired with like a fruity
yes
thing. I think it's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's really good. So that's my snack for today.
Yeah.
What's yours? What's also your cheese?
Also cheese. I think that would be a really good
cheese
podcast
you.
Name. Also cheese.
Also cheese.
Cheese you. Oh yeah, cheese you.
Cheese you.
Mine is Brie Savarin, which is. I'm not saying Brie. I'm saying Bria. B-R. I'm sorry. And I'm pronouncing it horrifically. B-R-I-L-L-A-T.
I'll pronounce it like an American. Briat Savarin.
Yeah.
Ux truth.
Oh, Brillat. I think it would be Brillat. Brillat.
Brillat.
Brillat. Savarin. Yeah. It's okay. So I had a friend bring this like a dinner party years ago, and it blew my mind, because I kind of thought at that stage I'd tried. I'm a cheese. Something about me is I am a cheese girl. Like
she really is.
Cheese like is for like
you. I think in the friend group it's like you, like if I had any cheese questions
and,
I would
yeah,
ask you and Jess.
Yeah, Jess is really good. I love it. I treat it like a hobby, and I really treated it like a hobby during COVID, because I didn't have much else to do other than go to cheese shops, because they stayed open.
You're also from Wisconsin, is in your
everyone
blood.
Says that, and like okay, I guess it's true, but it's like funny, I didn't grow it's up like, thinking I was like a cheese girl, and
well
then
you
I
come
moved
from
here,
Cheeseland.
I'm like, I'm a cheese
you're
and
like from the cheese place in the U.S.
Yeah, I know. I should get a cheese hat. So I love it. It's basically what I consider to be if butter were cheese. It is like Yeah, Danny and I.
Great description.
It's so freaking good. It's triple cream. It's a cow's milk cheese, and apparently it's named. Danny and I were both kind of like Wikipedia in a way over here, but it was apparently named after this guy who was just like a gourmand, so he's essentially a guy who was like obsessed with food, and his last name was Bria Severin.
I feel like that would be the perfect legacy for you.
He wrote a book about. This is actually what he wrote a book about. I think I saw he wrote a book about the physiology of cheese. Like
this man is your soulmate. When did he die?
Yeah, he would be my soulmate. I think he died quite a long time ago.
Okay, never mind.
His name is John Anthelme Bria Severin.
Yeah, crazy? This man, that would be a great legacy.
No, it was physiology of taste. I projected a little bit there, not physiology of cheese.
When did he live? What's his era?
He lived.
What Taylor Swift era did he identify?
What era? 1755 to 1826. He probably lived in the U.S. and he played violin to make money.
He lived in the U.S.?
That's kind of interesting because he was a lawyer and politician. So he also played violin and he also was a cheese expert.
Wasn't everyone a lawyer and a politician back then?
That's what I'm wondering. Was that kind of just like baseline? It was like going to college?
I think so.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
That's a great question. I'm reading the Wikipedia right now. And so it seems like he's French. Yeah.
He's French but lived in the U.S. And
which must have been rare at the time to live in the U.S. for 3 years when you were in the 1700s.
Yeah, for sure.
It probably was like quite.
And then he dies, and they're like, "We're gonna name a cheese after you." That's amazing,
guys. Look him up. I didn't know that until I wrote this, but
This man is your soulmate, Gabby. Maybe in another life,
yeah,
you'll reconnect with him.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah. Maybe every time I have a little bit of the cheese, his soul speaks to me, and I feel.
Look up his maybe.
I'm trying to see if he was hot, but I'm like not getting hot vibes. He's got like a lot of blush on in this photo.
No one was hot back then.
No one was hot back then.
Oh my god, he looks like
a pigeon, doesn't he?
He looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Anyway, okay, so what are you?
Chic belly flats though, but it's really good. For me, honestly, by itself.
Yeah.
So the one that I'm talking about today and that I'll do for a little vid is one with truffle. And I'm going to be so real with you guys. I've actually never had it with truffle before. So I can't call this a snack habit. Bria Severin is a snack habit. I'm like so excited to have this.
But you saw it on the window and we were like, we have to go into the shop. Immediately. Yeah. We saw it, like the window got us. It was like, it looks so good.
Yeah. We couldn't like walk past. So we're doing a big cheese snack today, but it's making me happy. I realized that I also just like went to my snack because I was so excited to talk about it. And I didn't ask you what your spiral was.
It's okay. We can snack first and spiral after. My spiral is this new conspiracy theory that I'm starting. I'm very good. It's not a conspiracy theory because I actually have facts to back it up.
All right. Okay.
But it's, I feel like our generation of women, we girl boss too close to the sun.
Yeah.
And so now we're all burnt out and like quitting our jobs and we don't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
And I say that because I think when we're younger, specifically like if you lived in New York and like, or it doesn't have to be New York specific, but in my case, all of my friends and people that I knew that lived in New York in like between 2014 and 2018, I would say, like everybody was like, I need to like climb the ladder. I need to be ambitious. I want to start my own business, all this stuff. And this was like the era of like the Nasty Gal book came out and all this stuff. She had a podcast, all this stuff. Anyway, I think we were like too focused on like, I want to be a girl boss and have my own thing. And I think now we're burned out because we did too much. Mm-hmm. And I know
like we're doing that plus all the emotional labor
plus like every relationship we're in.
It's just the mountain we handle, the way that we can multitask.
Yeah.
Us having thriving careers is not the same as a man having a thriving career. And that is my hot take of the day.
Yeah, but I also think specifically because the girl boss movement was like so in and trendy at the moment where it's like it was cool to start your own thing or be like
and it was
a girl boss.
It was supposed to be our personality too.
It was our personality. Yeah. And it was like, and now I think we're all like realizing that's not what we actually want. And we did it for a couple of years. And like, I mean, I quit my job.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of friends who also have their own businesses and they're like, yeah, I'm thinking about selling or like, I think I want to scale back. And like everyone is kind of having these conversations right now. Mm-hmm. And obviously like not everyone can do it because you still have to support yourself financially, but the people who can get out or who can scale back or who can like stop working a little bit are doing it. And I think everybody, if you ask most women our age, their fantasy is to like leave it all behind and like move to like a farm in the middle of nowhere and just have chickens.
Farm talk. Yeah,
and like be off the grid.
I'm a big cow. Cows are in my future. Let me just say that.
And it's like it's really interesting because I see it specifically from a lot of ambitious women. So it's not people that you have to have your own business to be successful or be ambitious, but like it's specifically women that I know love to work, are super ambitious, mm-hmm. really want to like we're doing all that they could
start
do.
Start podcasts in their free time.
And now they're all like, yeah, I don't really give a fuck about this anymore. Yeah. I'm done.
It's really liberating and it's amazing that like everyone kind of hit the stage. I mean, frankly, you can only do so much when your system is just like, I mean, burnout is real. Like when your system completely shuts off.
It really does. It's
very hard to continue to do stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious what's going to happen like economically and like moving forward. I think there was just, I mean, this whole ties into motherhood too. There's just been this like myth for so long that like doing it all, blah, blah, blah. I know it's all been said before, but I do really, really think it's coming to a head in terms of this idea of like thinking that like, the best life is doing everything. And I think
we also convince ourselves like, and for a long time, and for it's very real, like you can't take a break because it's like, who's gonna hire you?
Fall behind. Yeah.
And I think that is somewhat true, but also like financially a lot of people can't take a break. But I think after the pandemic a lot of people kind of looked at their priorities in life and realized that maybe being rich and making money is not their top priority.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of a side effect of the pandemic and like us reassessing what's important to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people are moving, or a lot of people are like changing careers.
It does
really
feel like a lot of people are moving to Europe, right?
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people are just like completely changing their careers, mm-hmm. or like downsizing everything. I mean, even the girl boss herself, Sophia Amoruso, mm-hmm. sold everything she owns in LA and is moving to London.
Cool.
And downsized. I think she has like a tiny, no, I'm talking shit. I don't actually know where she's moving, but it sounds like she's downsizing compared to like her mansion in LA.
Right.
To like a smaller place in London. And it's just like, and she even talks about it on her Instagram. She's like, yeah, no, like I'm over this. I don't care. And it's really interesting. I think it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah. I
like
feel it too.
A lot of these women are just like over it. They're like, I don't need to be rich. I just want like, I want to cover my expenses. I want to be able to enjoy life. And that's more important to me than like having like a company that's getting funding from whatever the fuck. Like, or
I really, you know what's funny? I really wonder what's going to happen, because I feel like I always used to say that I work in PR, and I always used to say that like agencies, the way they were structured, were like untenable, because they basically are built on the expectation that everyone will work massively overtime in order to fulfill just like the requirements of what it's like to be in an agency. And I think that's like slightly slowed down, but I think part of it has slowed down because people are just hitting a wall and they're unwilling. Like I work with people who are Gen Z, and I think they are unwilling.
Gen Z is very like, here are my boundaries, don't cross them.
I know. And you know what? Like at first I wanted to be annoyed about it, and I'm like, it only serves me. Like it only serves me to allow me the permission to actually sign off and not respond to emails. And I feel really lucky. I work right now in a situation where I can do that. Like I am off on the weekends. Like when I'm off at nights, I say I'm off. And I think that is only allowed because a new generation of people have come in and said, no, like I'm not accepting that. But do you think stuff will, like, do you think like society will slow down like at a certain point? Or
I mean, I think if enough people adopt the same mindset, yes. I mean, I think there's still going to be ambitious people that will work over time,
finance, etc.
Yeah. But I do think I see it a lot specifically in women who are like taking burnout breaks, who are quitting if they're not satisfied, or who are like recognizing like this is not normal or this is not okay, or like not even that, I don't want this anymore. And to me that's been like very like, because I kind of am going through it right now, and I've met so many women who are kind of going through a similar thing, who had like a booming career, executives like in great companies, and they're like, no, I was miserable, I had
to
quit.
Also nice that you, I think you're offering a safe space for people right now to talk about it, whereas like a lot of people obviously like on Instagram etc. will hide.
That just goes to show that even if you follow someone on Instagram who you think is super successful, that doesn't mean they're not miserable. And so just,
well, ain't that the takeaway of your 30s?
What is your spiral?
I feel like mine's another takeaway of your 30s.
Okay.
You know what? I hate Mean Girls.
I mean, who doesn't?
That's exactly
the movie
it.
Or
no, I love the movie.
Actual Mean Girls.
I think I just have gotten to this stage where I notice myself having absolutely no tolerance for mean girl behavior. And when I say mean girl behavior, I mean purposefully judging and making other people feel lesser than or uncomfortable. And I have a true belief that no one makes you feel less than if they're comfortable with themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Mean
girls are just miserable people.
They're miserable. But you know what's hard? It's always hard, because I think that that's so much easier said than internalized.
Yeah,
because
when
the
you're
moment.
In the receiving end, it feels like shit.
When you're in the receiving end, there's nothing you believe more than that you are absolutely inferior and you're like crap.
Yeah.
And I've reached a stage where it's very hard to make me feel that way for that way. I'll feel that way for a lot of different things, but like a woman looking me up and down and doing like a weird judgment thing with me is not going to work on me anymore. I just like, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Of course, a man telling me that I'm shit will probably still work on me. Just like, love the patriarchy. But yeah, I think I'm just done. Like I encounter it a lot in my world, like my career.
Yeah.
And
have you encountered it recently?
Yeah, I just think in my world I work with like a lot of like cool people, and some of them are really genuinely cool people, and then like a lot of times you just encounter someone who just isn't, and like I genuinely mean like that is not cool. Like I really feel like the people I admire most in the world are people who make everyone around them feel special and comfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
It is a huge superpower.
Yeah, being mean is not cool anymore.
It's not cool.
It's never cool, but I guess in the 90s it was played up a little more.
I think it's losing its power. And I've been thinking a lot about, this is kind of tangential, but I actually think this is like an interesting way to kind of like leave things off, but the power of in-person connections, and they really matter. Like, I really think they matter. I've talked to my friends who work with, who work in like business or work with like celebrities, and we've had conversations about this before. Like, does the way you show up in person still matter? And the consensus from everyone I've asked this to, which has been something I've asked a lot of people, is yes. Like, you can only get so far having so many followers on Instagram. If you show up in a room and you make everyone feel like crap and you can't like hold your own, that's your partnerships, your things don't allow you to go so far. So anyway, I really believe in like showing up, being kind, listening, making people feel important.
I think there's nothing cooler than someone that's just nice and kind.
Yeah, I agree. And like has their own shit. Like they don't need to like make a ton of time for you or like go out of their way, but like has their own shit going on. But like it's gonna like give you a little bit of like respect. And
it takes so much effort to be mean. Like I just, why,
you know,
so
funny.
You?
I think so many people have different thoughts on that. Like, does it take more effort to be mean?
I mean,
nice,
I think if
like,
you're a miserable person and you're an insecure, miserable person, being mean, it's like second nature. But
second nature, yeah.
To actually be mean to someone, ignore someone, roll your eyes at someone, all that stuff, I'm like, you just don't do it. Like,
yeah,
just don't do it. I don't know. But
like you reverse.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. I mean, girls suck. And
yeah. And I also think they're just losing, yeah, like losing their power.
I think so too. I think it's also like a Gen Z effect, because Gen Z, well, I guess there's mean girls in every generation, but I do think Gen Z is more like
Gen Z's
in their feelings.
Us millennials.
Oh, but yeah, but also the things that they're mean about is like, shut up. Who cares if we're skinny jeans? Like, calm down. We've been through a lot. That was a long one.
Woof. Had a lot of thoughts on trench coats, apparently.
I hope you listen all the way through. Just a quick announcement. We're going to record another episode today. It's going to be what we're going to call like a bonus ep. So not the regular format, something a little shorter. But yeah, we'll release that the week that Gabby's traveling. And then when she's back, we'll go back to normal.
It makes it sound like I'm going like truly like to the
she's
most
going on
place
safari.
She's
going to London.
Going to London for 3 days.
We also haven't figured out how to record long distance, which.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I know. One day we'll have to figure that
Danny's
out.
Danny's looking at
not
me
today.
Like, get that.
No.
Bitch.
I mean, I don't do anything. I'm just looking at you as my guidance, not as my employee.
God. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
We'll see you soon.
See you later.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.